Testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Those who are going for the retreat this Saturday, yeah, Sumero, the program is here. Yeah? You can pass it around. Yeah. Yeah. This side also pass. Those who are going to Sumero for the retreat. Yeah? Okay, today's puja, who is supposed to come and light the candle? Come. Oh, okay. Oh, sadhu. Very good. Yeah. Oh, that Vesak celebration. Yeah, sadhu. Come. One of you light the candle, the other one light the incense. Lighter is here. Lighter is down there. Down there. Ingui, come the program. Okay. Yeah, it's in the email, but this one is a printed copy. You better keep one because it's very good. It can help you all develop understanding. I mean, for the program, retreat. Okay. Okay, maybe we can get ready for puja. Yeah? So we will just pay respect to Lord Buddha. Yeah? We recall to mind. Yeah? The great qualities of Lord Buddha, the 9 great virtues. Then we develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then we pay respect mindfully. Yeah? We will chant the salutation to the Triple Gentle. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava butang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay. So we can get a full puja. Yeah. Stand. Then can start off with the tree. Then we all rejoice with the offering. Sadhu. Sadhu. sadhu, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Ah, yeah, the flowers. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. You can be seated. Then we will start the chanting. Turn to page 4 of the chanting book. We will start off with the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Sambuddhassa Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya maccapamadatana เวรมณีสิกขาปะดังสมาธิยามิ Okay, now we shall make the puja offering. We will chant the Padipa puja. Gana sarapatitena dipena tamadang sena tilokadipang sambutang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena.ดูเปนาหังสุกังหินาปูจาเยปูจานิยังทังปูจาบาจานะมุตตมังวันนากันดะโกโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันทตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสะสิริปัฏฐะสโรโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนะปุณเณนะมะเตนะชะโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายะติยัตตาอิดังเมคายโยตัตตายะติวินาสบาวังAdivasetu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigang hotumutamang Okay, we will turn to the last page, page 18, to make our aspiration. We are invoking the understanding of all thisimportant puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and condition to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness inherent therein.Understanding the significance of offering of water, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilement within our mind. Understanding the significance of offering of incense, we shall make this aspiration.May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Understanding the significance of offering of fruits, we shall make this aspiration.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Understanding the significance of offering of flower, we shall make this aspiration. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One,strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral expression. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering,May our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing of merits and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them.Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we will end the puja. So there are two persons who are new. I was told by Brother Sayanda. So may I know you all have some understanding of the Buddhist teaching or not? Both also have. Where is the other one? The other one is Brother. There's another one. Oh, you are the one. So they have some. Oh, means they have Buddhist background, huh? Very good. That will make it easy for us to maybe share with them the Buddha Dhamma. Then meditate before, I presume. Oh, no. Oh, first time. Then I give you that book. Get me the blue book. just that one, one each, This one is one of the typical Thursday class, but the explanation is very good because the transcript, somebody volunteered to do up the transcript, and it covers a very complete range of what you need to understand about meditation, and it also explains clearly what we do here. So basically, we call this session the meditation session. But Buddhists tend to use this word, vipassana meditation. So vipassana is a Pali word. There are two parts to the word, vi and passana. Vi stands for the three characteristics of nature. The core Buddhist teaching, according to Lord Buddha, when he proclaimed the Four Noble Truths. He also, in the final summary of the First Noble Truth, mentioned very clearly that the cause of suffering is mainly craving, born of delusion. So here, delusion means living beings are deluded because they do not understand who they are, what they are. So these three characteristics of nature, which the Buddha came to realize upon his enlightenment, is common to all living beings and all phenomena in this world and this universe. So it's a universal characteristics of nature. Whatever phenomena you come to confront, whatever entity you come to confront, even the human being, the living beings, the animals, everything, they are all inherently characterized by these three universal characteristics of impermanent, means they are subject to change. The reason being, they are conditioned arising entity, and because that characteristics are impermanent, it will lead to suffering, which is the second characteristics. Whatever that is of the nature to change is not a permanent and changing entity where you can grasp onto, cling onto, and hold onto, and always say, I want it to be forever young, won't get old, won't get sick, and won't die. It's not possible because the nature's law is such, everything goes the way of nature. Whatever that is born into this world, they will transform, grow old, then finally they will cease to be. For human being or living being, they say you die. But for phenomena, they come and they go, they appear and they disappear, they arise and they pass away. So All these are the universal characteristics that are inherent in nature, in all phenomena. Then the most powerful characteristic is the third one. The Buddha called it anatta, or non-self, empty nature. So this anatta nature, the third universal characteristics, you have to understand clearly. Otherwise, you have delusion, the Buddha said. If you fail to see that this five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being or the living being, if you gullibly believe that it's you, then the Buddha said, you are deluded by it. Because under ultimate truth, there is no reality. Because it's impermanent, it leads to suffering, and it's empty and non-self. That's why that thing is never a permanent and changing entity that you can hold on to, grasp onto, and believe is you. So the purpose of meditation here is to insight into these three universal characteristics or impermanent or anicchang. Suffering is dukkang, and the non-self nature or empty nature is anatta. So these three universal characteristics, the moment you understand, your mind liberates, then you will no longer be deluded. Then you will understand clearly, then it will have no more power to delude or deceive that living being, and there will be no more suffering. So vipassana meditation is a type of meditation that allows you to insight into the three characteristics of nature, the impermanent, suffering state, and non-self characteristics. So we stand for the three characteristics. Passana is insight into. So vipassana, you combine these two words, is a type of meditation that allows you to insight into the three universal characteristics. The way to do it is to train your mind so that it can have this quality to meditate, so that it can develop the appropriate spiritual faculty to understand the teaching. Then from the understanding, you can move on to the cultivation. Then as you cultivate, you can develop the possibility of understanding. That's how the three phases of Dhamma come in. First phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, the Buddha said, is to learn the teaching. Then after that, put the teaching into practice or cultivation. That is the second phase, Patipatti. Then when you have already developed that, you can become enlightened. Then the third phase of Dhamma is Pativeda, the fruit of your hard work. And that phase of life is the most beautiful phase a living being can ever have. So the whole of this meditation is to allow you to develop this type of understanding so that your life can become more meaningful, your life can become more beautiful. Then you don't have to suffer again like normal living beings, and you can actually develop the understanding to liberate your mind from all worldly problems. Whatever suffering and misery that living being has to confront, when you develop this understanding, you can transcend them. So this teaching is very unique, very beautiful. So before I off the light, to allow those who already know how to meditate to continue the meditation, maybe I just add on to the explanation a little bit about how to train your mind. According to Lord Buddha, the reason why human beings' mind cannot become peaceful, cannot develop the meditation, is because they have these five mental hindrance, and they are very powerful mental states that are very, very negative. The five mental hindrance are written on the whiteboard above. You can see them here. They are sensual desire and ill will, first two. Sloth and torpor, which is lethargic mind, sleepiness. Then the fourth one is restlessness of mind. Then the last one is doubt. So these five hindrances, they always arise within the living being if they are not developed in the spiritual way, if they have not cultivated their mind, if their spiritual faculties are not developed. So most living beings who are heedless, who have not trained their mind, who does not understand meditation, they will have this hindrance. And when they are there, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. This is a very important understanding. What you have to do, according to the Buddha, is very simple. You don't go and fight this hindrance. You don't go and control or suppress or do anything to it. You just acknowledge it. Then you check, you investigate. Why is it that way? How come the hindrances are there? How can I develop an understanding so that the hindrance will fade away? So the Buddha said the hindrances are there because the opposite five, which he called the five spiritual faculties, that can allow you to understand spiritual teachings, they are not there. Yeah. So these five opposite spiritual faculties, you need to cultivate. That's why our puja will allow you to develop them. Then as we train our mind, we strengthen mindfulness further. Then when we stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. The mind is that is very stable. At the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, the mind is collected, unwavering. That's why you can see things as they are. And such a mind is always peaceful, always radiant and beautiful. Then when you can see things as they are, you will develop wisdom, panya, which is the last spiritual faculty. The first two is common sense, but they are very important. Like whatever you do in life, if you lack confidence in yourself, you cannot do well. That's why you must have the confidence in yourself, the faith, that you can do well, that you have studied and understood what that thing is. So in the spiritual field, here the first spiritual faculty is the same. They call it the faith or the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Through knowing who the Buddha is, how special and how wise he is, because he is not only the enlightened one, he is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. That's why we have faith in him and his teaching. So when your faith is very strong, it will drive you to cultivate. This is how the second spiritual faculty, they call it the spiritual zeal or virya, come about. Yeah. So when you have this tenacity or spiritual zeal to cultivate, it will motivate you to develop the mindfulness leading to the samadhi or collectedness of mind. Then you can understand a lot of things. Then your meditation will progress very fast. Then wisdom will arise. And when these five come into place, fall into place, the hindrance will be gone. When there is faith or confidence, there is no more doubt. The last hindrance is countered. You can counter the last hindrance. When there is spiritual zeal, you won't be sleepy. Sloth and torpor will not be there. Yeah, this is a driving force. When there is mindfulness, there is no thought. No thought means the mind is peaceful, no longer restless, and your mind does not chatter, does not stir. So it will not actually create duality. Sensual desire and ill will are duality. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, the tendency is for you to react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, feel and think. And the reaction is always the two aspects of duality, whether you like that sense experience or you don't like. like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, they are classified as sensual desire. The one that you like, positive, it becomes sensual desire. The one that you don't like, you want to push away, it becomes ill will. And these two also coincide with the first two of the three evil roots of greed and hatred. So that's why the five mental hindrances, they are connected to the evil roots. When there is delusion, greed, and hatred, the three evil roots are there, these five hindrances will be very active. It constantly arises in the mind of living being. So our meditation is to develop the opposite five. So through the puja, you develop the faith, sadha. Then through understanding who the Buddha is, how wise and how special he is, and his teaching, we develop the very strong spiritual zeal to walk this way. Then we train our mind. When we pay respect mindfully. Then we come here to develop the training of the mind, so that in the form of meditation, your mind can develop the mindfulness, the sati. So there are two very important skillful means that can help you develop the sati or mindfulness. They are all in the blue book. You go back and read, you will understand. So now I will off the light, so that those who really know how to meditate, they can start their meditation. And those who are new, or those who still need instruction, you can listen. I will give you the instruction to train your mind. Okay, relax body and mind completely. Just unwind yourself and allow yourself to have the ability to relax your body and mind. Tell yourself, you are here to develop the meditation, to train your mind. So you want to leave behind all of your so-called worldly problems. Whenever the thought comes to distract you, you tell the mind, not now, after the meditation I will attend to it. For now, I just want the immediate space to meditate, to train this mind. So you close your eye, relax body and mind, make sure your backbone is straight. Whatever posture that is comfortable to you, just use it. The key to meditation is to relax. When you are relaxed, you are at ease. When you are at ease, there is no stress. You are very light, very peaceful. Then you close your eye. The first technique I will teach you is the mind sweeping method. You maintain attention at your forehead. You feel, you don't think, feel. Feel your forehead. You can detect any tension, tightness, or stress within. Then you silently relax it. Feel it. Relax, relax, and relax. Soothingly relax your entire forehead. Soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Just feel, don't think. Feel the eye muscle. Relax completely the eye muscle. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you move it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Just feel, don't think. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax it completely. Relax. And in order to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate this radiant smile to yourself, you will naturally be relaxed. The smile is a form of joy. When you are happy, you are very relaxed. So the radiant smile is very important. When you can smile, you are very relaxed and very happy. So your facial muscle will naturally relax. Then you combine with loving kindness or metta to help it develop the inner well-being. So this meditation is very useful where it helps you to relax, develop the inner peace. Then now when we read it, metta, you will develop the inner well-being. So the first two byproducts of meditation, which is inner peace leading to inner well-being and inner joy, is very important. So you will recite after me to develop the loving kindness of metta. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, may I, you feel your entire being, your entire body and mind, be well and happy. You must feel the entire body and mind having this sense of happiness, joy within. And this is inner well-being. You can repeat it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can read this same metta to your loved one. May my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them. They can be your parents, your spouse, your children, somebody that you love or care for. Then you radiate the same metta to them. You visualize them. Then radiate this metta or love to them. May my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. Radiate this well-being and happiness to them. And visualize them. Smile, radiating the well-being too. May they too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. No more physical and no more mental suffering. There is only peace and joy within the body and mind. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May their mind states too be free from all negative tendency of ill will, selfishness, fear, worry, anxiety. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then you can radiate this same love or metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of Suyan and Mifong's house, including all the Dhamma friends and co-meditator or cultivator who are here, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can read it onwards. To all beings within the vicinity of the whole of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, then to all the planets within the solar system. Then we can continue from the solar system to our galaxy or Milky Way. May all beings within the entire Milky Way and galaxy, together with the entire universe, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all harm and danger. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without negativity, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy within the hearts of all these beings throughout the entire universe. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just feel, don't think, feel. When you feel there is no thought, you are at ease and you are very peaceful. And because of the inner peace, together with the inner well-being, you will become very beautiful. Then you can continue the mind sweeping method. From your facial muscle, you relax everything. Then you move it down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax. Then hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder. Then you move your attention down to your heart or your chest area. This is a very important location within your physical body. This is where your life force arise and pass away. This is where the seat of consciousness reside. This is where your heartbeat arise and pass away too. You just silence everything, relax and feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area. You just silence your mind and just feel. Don't think, just be with the vibration, be with the heart rate or heartbeat, just silent. But if you are new, you are not sensitive, your mindfulness is not sensitive enough, and you cannot feel anything, then it's okay. You just like your mind sweeping method, when you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area. If there's any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax them all. Then after that, you move on. You sweep it down to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen, silent, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Buttock, do the same. Feel and relax. Relaxation is key. In Mandarin, it's called Fang Song. Just relax into it. Relax into everything that arises. Then you can reverse this whole mind sweeping method from the leg. Feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax, then move the awareness or attention up to your abdomen, feel, relax, then your stomach, do the same, feel, relax, then your heart area, silence everything and feel, relax, then you move on to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, neck, relax everything, facial muscle, eye muscle, forehead. By now, your mind should be quite peaceful. The inner peace and inner well-being should have developed to a certain extent. So you need to do it for a second time, you can go ahead. Otherwise, you can proceed to the second stage to stabilize this inner peace or inner mindfulness that you have developed. You can use an object of meditation to train the mind to develop a stable mindfulness or sati. The one that the Buddha taught, which is very useful, is anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of your in and out breath. You just relax body and mind, breathe in and breathe out mindfully. Then you silence your mind, then you feel your breathing in front of your nostril, just silent and feel. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing. The moment you detect the breathing, then you follow the instruction of Lord Buddha. Breathing in, the mind is aware, means the breath and the mind move as one. Then breathing out, the mind is again aware. So anapanasati is very easy. It's just to train this mind to be aware of the in and out breath. But for those who are new, you will come to realize your mind wanders off very fast. It cannot stay there because you have not trained. But be patient, don't worry. Every time the mind wanders off, you just patiently bring it back to feel the breathing. If you are patient enough, if you are diligent enough, this anapanasati will develop. Then sooner or later, your mind will get used to it. Then it will be able to detect the breathing. Then as the breathing and the mind move as one, you develop sati or mindfulness. When you are in sati and mindfulness, there is no thought. Then your inner peace become more stable. Then as you develop this ability to be mindful, your mind will become more and more peaceful. It will lead to inner well-being, leading to what they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual joy born of the trained mind. The mind that is trained, that has sati or mindfulness, will arise piti. Then when piti arises, your mindfulness will be very clear and you will like to meditate. Then as piti arises, you continue to relax into it and allow it to be. Then piti will become more and more refined until it becomes sukha. Sukha is a type of very, very blissful state of mind, much more refined than piti. Then you will experience the inner mind state, which is very blissful. Then do not attach to this state, just allow it to pass. Feel it, experience it, relax into it. Until finally, even this piti will also fade away. Then the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful. And for the first time, you will experience what they call stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, leading to what they call pasati, the meditative mind or the silent mind. This is the purpose of this mental training exercise, to develop pasati, the silent mind, the meditative mind. When this one come about, technically, you don't need any object of meditation to be peaceful anymore. Your mind can be anywhere. It will just stay there, silent, aware. So during that time, you can continue to stay at the breathing. Or for those who are more advanced, you can slowly allow it to drop to your mind base, to feel your heartbeat. Then just relax and stay there. Just silence your mind, relax. Within the silence, all of meditative training can be done. The mind will understand many, many things. The silent mind is a meditative mind. It can be aware of all mental aggregates that arise and pass away. All of contact between mind and the sense bases. Then you can stay there at the moment of sense experience to understand clearly what is going on, then you will understand how you function as a human, who you are, what you are. The characteristics of nature will become more and more apparent. The essential Dhamma will arise. The Four Noble Truths, the Three Evil Roots, the Five Spiritual Faculties, the Five Hindrance of Mind, together with the Seven Factors of Enlightenment, Paticca-samuppada, dependent origin, you will witness them all within. So I will just allow you to train that way. Then in 10 minutes time, I will ring the bell. Then after that, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. We will now do a quick invocation of the Devas, then to page 6 of the chanting book. I will read to you the English translation of the invocation, then others will get in me to chant. In the universe in their entirety, let the Devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti beso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vicca charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sata Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditatbo Enohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yaditam chatari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakyaneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang punyang khitang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay. Now we shall start off with the second session, Q&A, reporting of meditation. You can report your meditation if you want to. Then you can at the same time ask any question related to either the meditation or the teaching, and how you can apply what you have learned here to help you understand life and live life, and overcome all of your so-called problems in life. Okay, we open it up. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can go ahead. Nobody, as usual. What about you, girl? Very tired, huh? You look. You just came from office. Yeah, I knew. But it's good. You come here to rewind, unwind. Sorry. Then you develop at least more moments of peace and calm. It can help you in many ways. Then, as you develop this training and understanding, your career also will become more manageable, and you can actually perform better. These are the benefits of training your mind. When you have this ability to train your mind, the benefits is, first, you develop inner peace, leading to inner well-being, and this is something most people find very difficult to attain to. Especially in the working environment in today's society, where everything is in such hectic pace, and at times it can be very stressful and very challenging. Then as you go through life, you confront a lot of worldly problems, the realities of life that the Buddha talked about, even in the working environment and at home. Not only you have your career problem, you have also your house problem, then you got relationship problem, some may have even financial problem, then you have at times illness problem, disease, sickness and all those things. Then you can also have your work-related problems, or sometimes life-related problems. Then for those who are married, have children, you may have your children's problem too. Then you have old parents, you may have your parents' problem. So the reality of life and existence can actually be very, very challenging at times. It can bring forth great stress. So during those moments, you don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding. It's very difficult to be at peace. You have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of sorrow and a lot of lamentation. And you don't know how to confront life. That's why many children nowadays, even young people, or even adults, they have a lot of problems. They think and they worry so much until finally they succumb to their own mind delusion. Then a lot of them went into depression. And depression is a very common thing nowadays. Many children have them. So you have this Dhamma understanding and you know how to train your mind, there's a lot of advantage, a lot of benefits that come with it. The first two benefits of inner peace and inner calmness and inner well-being can be very useful. When you have this type of situation, you just relax, silent, go to a quiet place, can be in your office too. You just relax, silent, and do the meditation that you have been taught, the training that we have been doing here. Then as you become more skillful, you can become peaceful very fast. These are for people who are still not established in the meditation. But when you have established yourself in the meditation, actually, you don't really need to train your mind anymore because your mind is already trained. You are already with the spiritual faculties. Your saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, they are already there, very stable. So because of that, your mind is different. It has inner peace. It has clarity. It can understand many things. It has the noble truth understanding, the wisdom. It knows how to attend to situation, to problems, and you know how to resolve them. As such, your mind is beautiful. Then you can have the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda, where life can become very meaningful, very wonderful. And you can really live life to the fullest. To enjoy, not really enjoy, the word may not be so appropriate, to experience all of the wonder and beauties of life that you can develop through this understanding. But even for those who are not skillful yet, not established yet, at least this training, initial training, can actually work wonder and help you. So when you can withdraw to a quiet place, calm yourself down, develop the inner peace leading to the inner well-being, then the mind will return to its natural state of inner peace, inner calmness before the stirring. Then you compare these two mind states. One is so peaceful, so calm, so still, so different from the normally agitated state, which has a lot of fear, worry, anxiety. But human beings' problem is when you don't have wisdom, after you have the inner peace, inner calmness, then the moment you come out of it, your mind will start to behave the old way. The thought will come, remind you of the problem, and then it starts to follow the old pattern. Then it becomes defiled again. Then the hindrance come back. That's why your mind becomes restless. Why restless? Because the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the problem, they resurface. So inner peace and inner calmness and inner well-being is just a temporary measure. It will not solve your problem. It will help you to a certain extent. Then when you can develop the inner peace and the inner well-being, there is clarity. And during that time, if you reflect and contemplate on your so-called problem, you will make better decisions. Then you ask yourself, how can I move forward? how can I resolve this so-called problem amicably so that nobody get hurt, so that everybody is still happy? You can only do that by following the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha, because that is the meditation. If you follow Noble Eightfold Path, you will lead to the end of all suffering. There will be no more suffering. And Noble Eightfold Path is very unique. It's a very, very important meditation. In fact, one of the Kayanamitta, one of the sister, he wrote me a WhatsApp. He wanted me to share this very important topic. He said, Brother Teo, he said, with due respect, he said, she made the following request. He said, can Brother Teo explain to us and highlight to us how we can go about cultivating this Noble Eightfold Path? We are using the silent mind. And that is a very, very meaningful topic. Then I told her, yeah, I can. She wanted me to share it at the retreat, actually. The coming retreat at Sumero. I said, can, please remind me. So tonight we came to the same topic. So maybe I don't have the time to... Oh, we are still early. Maybe I just briefly explain the outline of it. Because the whole of that Noble Eightfold Path cultivation is very, very deep. The subject is very deep. So maybe tonight, I will share a bit. Then you try to develop the understanding. Then at the retreat, maybe I will expand on it. Basically, the cultivation of Dhamma, like I said, there are three phases. So what are the three phases of Dhamma? Can you all recall? Three phases of Dhamma. Yeah, you can stick up there. What are they? The first one is, first phase is Pariyatti. What is this? Learning or the teaching or the doctrine, learning or the teaching or the doctrine. This is a very important phase. This one, phase one, is the most important. If you don't get this right, you cannot move on to phase two. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. So second phase is, they call Pati. So this Pali word, don't confuse if you're going to Pati. Brother Teo say Pati, every day I go Pati, then I practice. So this one, the phase two is to put the teaching into practice. Into practice. So this is the cultivation part. And this one is also very important. But you cannot do this until you have done the first phase, until you have understood what the teaching is. Then only you can put it into practice. So this one is in daily life. And this one is training your mind to be heedful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is the one that we are interested in. So the Kayanamita straight away asked this because she has been doing the cultivation quite consistently, and her mind is very, very strong. The sadha and the virya is very strong, and the sati is also quite established. Then after that, you have the third phase of Dhamma. The third phase is Pativeda. P-A. Pativeda. Or double. Or last one. Oh, okay. Double T-I. Yeah, good. Pativeda is the fruition of the second phase. To reap the fruit of your hard work. Fruit of your hard work. Which is the phase two cultivation. There is a chart. I have given this chart out. For those who cannot remember. This one is in the appendix of the Heart Sutta note. So you can refer to the Heart Sutta note. They are all there. The explanation are all very clear. You have the Four Noble Truths. You have to turn it three times. The first turning will give rise to one type of wisdom. The Buddha called it Suttamaya Panya. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta or dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha. Then after that, you have to go through the second turning to develop the second turning wisdom, which is Chintamaya Panya. Wisdom born of reflection, inquiry and contemplation into the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha. So after you have heard the Four Noble Truths, you don't have the good path, cultivation, then maybe you may not develop that type of wisdom called Suttamaya Panya. But you can still move on because you can reflect, contemplate and inquire into what the Buddha said. And through this reflection, contemplation, and inquiry, you will stabilize the understanding and assimilate them. So that this second type of wisdom, born of reflection and contemplation and inquiry into the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha, can be developed. And this is called Chintamaya Panya. So when you develop this type of wisdom, it will prepare the base for you to develop the wisdom, the awakening. Then you move to third turning. Third turning is the meditation, meditative part. The wisdom that arises is Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is the meditative discipline. When you start to train your mind, like what we did here. So Bhavana is meditation. Meditative training. So wisdom born of meditation or bhavana is called bhavana maya panya. So wisdom born of the meditative training via the direct seeing or awakening means you insight into phenomena. You awaken to the characteristics of nature, the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state and non-self. Then the rest you have to go back and read because it's very detailed. First number two, first turning, what did the Buddha proclaim? What is the first number two? What is the second number two, the third number two, and the fourth number? You have to understand them. Then the Buddha emphasized differently on each truth. Under the second turning, the Buddha said, this first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. And then you have to inquire, why did the Buddha say that? And all the things, all these are all mentioned here. Then the second noble truth, which explains clearly to you the cause of arising of suffering, which is mainly craving, born of your self-delusion. So under the second turning, the Buddha said, this craving, which is the cause of all suffering, born of delusion, is to be abandoned. You have to abandon it or severe it, otherwise you cannot free your mind. So when you cultivate this Four Noble Truths, Treatening, you will develop wisdom as you go on. Then the Third Noble Truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be. The end of suffering is possible. Nibbana, which is enlightenment in the here and the now, can be realized. Yeah. So under the second turning, the Buddha said, this cessation of suffering leading to the enlightenment, which is Nibbana, is to be realized if you want to cultivate, to develop the enlightenment. So the realization of Nibbana is very important. That's why second turning is very clearly mentioned there. This state of cessation of form and mind is to be realized. Then when you come to the fourth noble truth, the Buddha mentioned there is a noble truth that explains clearly to you about the path that lead to the end of all suffering. And that path is called the Noble Eightfold Path. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which has got eight path factors, starting with right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, then it will lead to the end of all suffering. So you meditate to liberate your mind, to be free from all suffering. And that is what enlightenment is all about. The moment you are awakened or enlightened, suffering need not be. You have wisdom. You are not deluded anymore. The form and mind will not be deluded by phenomena. Their characteristics of nature will be clearly seen. So there is no more delusion. So fourth noble truth, the Buddha said under the second turning, this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by him, is to be cultivated. Understanding is not enough. You must put it into practice. This is the one that the Kayanamita want to understand. Then the third turning is enlightenment. This Noble Eightfold Path has already been cultivated. Yeah. First Noble Truth also same. This First Noble Truth of Dukkha has already been understood. Means what? Means you have understood what suffering is, what the cause of suffering is, and you have also realized enlightenment, Nibbana, and you have also cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why all the third turning, they point towards enlightenment. Similarly, second noble truth, the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, has already been severed, means all abandoned, no more craving, no more delusion, that's why no more craving. Then Nibbana has been realized. So all this will lead to the three phases of Dhamma. So Pariyatti involves the learning of the teaching or the doctrine via the first and second turning wisdom. So here you cultivate understanding of what this practice is all about, because this inquiry will lead you to the cultivation. That's why the second turning is the most important. The Buddha gave different emphasis on all the noble truth. So when you inquire, why did the Buddha say this? Then how can you understand this? Then after that, how can you put it into practice? Yeah. So all this contemplation, reflection, and inquiry will lead you to the cultivation. That's why first phase, first turning wisdom, Suttamaya Panya, can be developed via hearing the Dhamma as shared by someone who had understood the teaching, or listen to the appropriate Dhamma recording via MP3, CD, video, etc., which we have given you. Then hearing also from the recording. Hearing, listening. Hearing is directly from the talk given, or the sharing in the Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, and Dhamma talk. Then reading Dhamma book, notes, and online material as shared by someone who had understood the teaching. So we have a lot of Dhamma books too, the transcript. So you can develop all this phase one Pariyatti training. Then second turning wisdom, Chintamaya Panya, can be developed via contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhammas taught by the Buddha to develop further understanding via stabilizing what one has heard and read, then assimilating them into one's heart to set the base for developing further understanding later on via any of the first, second, or third turning. Yeah. So this one, once you establish the second turning cultivation, you are actually ready for enlightenment. Then you move to phase two. Phase two involves the cultivation of the teaching in daily life. We are putting the teaching into practice to develop the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya. Bhavana is the meditative training needed to develop wisdom via the formal daily mindfulness and the four foundation of mindfulness meditation. Having a good daily religious routine to develop the five spiritual faculty will also help a lot. Then need to cultivate until one is awakened to move up to the third phase of Dhamma. After you have finished the three turning, then only you can go to the third phase of Dhamma. The third phase of Dhamma is your reward, the fruit of your hard work. So this phase is reaping the fruit of one's cultivation, leading to a noble life. You live the life of a noble one, or awakened one, or enlightened one. This is the most beautiful phase of one's life, where one can truly live life to the fullest, to experience all of the noble life as described below. Life becomes much more meaningful and good because no more suffering. Then you are able to understand life clearly, hence a lot of joy, happiness, peace, love, and compassion. Then you will be able to live the heedful life. Via heedful living, one is able to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life while in the world, while in this world. Then you are able to always act righteously with wisdom, love, and compassion. And you will also have the ability to always you will always be heedful to live the noble life of true peace, inner joy, and inner happiness, hence no more heedlessness. Able to live life in accordance with one's noble understanding, hence no need to worry about life anymore. Always very mindful of one's action, speech, and thought, we are living the noble life of heedfulness. Understand precisely that this form and mind is not oneself, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for one to use to live out this segmented life while in this world. So these are all the important benefits and understanding as you cultivate. That's why the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths tie in with the three phases of Dhamma. And to explain the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, you must finish off the first phase of Dhamma. Understand? So that one, the essential Dhamma, I have already explained them very clearly in the Heart Sutta short notes. You read through that one, everything is there. Then there are many of these transcript book of my talk and my sharing through the Tuesday class, Thursday class, and sometimes Sunday class, Wuping Jing Se. And these are all very useful, essential Dhamma that will help you to actually clearly understand the Buddha's teaching. The moment you have the big picture, the whole zigzag puzzle like fall into place, then you know why the Buddha teach like that, and how does the teaching come about. It all starts with the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why the Buddha summarized all of life into this, the Four Noble Truths. Because this Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching is so powerful. So powerful It is so powerful because it actually summarizes to you all of life. All of the mundane and supramundane aspects of life, they are all within the Four Noble Truths, and nothing is apart from the Four Noble Truths. That's why all his subsequent teaching, later teaching, they are all spin-off from this Four Noble Truths. And within the Four Noble Truths, each and every of these Noble Truths, they are all interrelated, connected. And accumulate into the Fourth Noble Truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So the cultivation has to go back or fall back to this Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you read my notes, you recall all my sharing. Whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The Buddha's teaching, the enlightenment that he meant, is somebody who has cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path. The reason being, the Noble Eightfold Path got 8 path factors, and they are all related to life, and they are very important to life. An enlightened being to the Buddha is called a noble one. Noble ones are very noble in every aspect of life. That's why they are very noble in perfecting or cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. They have already had the Noble Eightfold Path factor. That's why they are called noble ones. So this Noble Eightfold Path tie in with the enlightenment. The first path factor is right view, right understanding. And this is the most important path factor. That's why the Buddha put it number one. Without understanding this first path factor, you cannot live life, the Buddha said. The whole Noble Eightfold Path will go haywire. That's why the first of all the Noble Eightfold Path factor is right view or right understanding. Here the emphasis is on all the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the 3 important spiritual laws that governs all of our life and existence. That's why he started off with the law of karma. He said you must have right view with regards to the law of karma. And to have right view with regards to the law of karma, you must reflect and contemplate on what he has taught you. The 5 daily contemplation, the last one, he put a lot of understanding and emphasis on that particular contemplation. That's why he said, every day you must contemplate. The Buddha said, all living beings, irrespective of what you are, who you are, they are all born of their karma, heir to their karma, conditioned and supported by their karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. So if you have this understanding, this right view, then you will never neglect your karma. Because karma plays such a great role in your life. You are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. That's why I say 99.999% drawn by karma. Only the 0.000% the enlightened being are not subject to karma because of their wisdom. The condition will arise, but because of their wisdom, they don't suffer anymore. So they can break free. That's why everything that happened to you, living beings who are heedless, almost 99.9999% are all karmically related. So how do we take care of karma? Again, the teaching is very clear. The Buddha said you have to avoid all evil, do good. Because law of karma is like that. Do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. You reap what you sow. In Mandarin Mahayana, is even more beautiful. 重因结果，重善因结善果，重恶因结恶果。Then they always advise the living being. 众生千万要小心，不要重错因结错果。He said, never, never plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. What is wrong seed? The seed of evil, understand? So you become heedless. You don't care about life. You are very selfish. You couldn't care less because you don't believe. You are very heedless. You don't even want to find out. You don't even want to investigate. You just want to do things that you feel is good for you in your selfish way, in your deluded way, in your emotional way. That's how the heedless are as if dead, the Buddha said. No spiritual life. When you are heedless, the evil roots are all there. The mental hindrances are all there. And karmically, you fall. That's why your life will be afflicted. So if you don't avoid all evil, do good wherever there is condition, then purify your mind. You will not be able to live life. You will have a lot of suffering, the Buddha said. So this first right view is so powerful. That's how the advice of the Buddha comes about. All Buddha, when they arise, they will advise you the same, following Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyodapanang etang buddhana sahasana. The meaning is, all evil you have to avoid. Not only avoid evil, all evil you have to avoid. Then wherever there is condition to cultivate goodness or wholesomeness, you have to cultivate them. That's why last Tuesday, we emphasized a lot on virtue. Then when you keep your precept, you take your precept, towards the end, the monk will chant. Precept are very important, the monk said, because precept is the source of happiness. Then precept is the source of true wealth. Then finally, precept is the source of true peace. So if you really want happiness, spiritual wealth, and inner peace and true peace, you must keep your precept. Those who violate their precept, they commit a lot of evil. Karmically, they get themselves entangled. Then the fruit of it, they reap what they sow. Whatever you do to people, later on condition will arise. You will have to become the victim to take all this negativity. Then when suffering comes about, the nature's law is very clear. There is no way they can escape from this so-called samsara, wheel of birth and death. So it's never worthwhile to violate the nature's law of karma. So the advice to avoid all evil and cultivate goodness or wholesomeness is very important. Then the next question is, how do we avoid all evil? How do we cultivate wholesomeness? What did the Buddha advise? Just now we chant. What did you chant? You renew your five precepts. What are precepts? Precepts are training rule. You undertake the training rule to abstain from doing certain negative things, evil things. That's why you have to renew your precepts. And all the precepts that you chant, they are only committed by people who have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you don't have evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion, you can never violate your precepts. Like the first precept, Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami. The last few words, Viramani Sikapadam Samadhi Yami, is always repeated. The meaning is, we undertake the training rule to abstain from what? First precept, from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. You have to ask, contemplate and reflect on the second turning. Why did the Buddha advise like that? Why must I avoid or abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings? The first inquiry, who will do that? Who will kill and harm? What type of people? What type of people? Violent people with a lot of hatred and anger, isn't it? And if they have a lot of hatred and anger, means they are deluded, isn't it? Correct or not? Or people who has a lot of selfish intention, craving, desire. They want to take advantage over you. Yes or not? That's why they fight over property. They fight over the throne, like in the olden days, the king, the emperor. All their siblings, they will fight among each other just to become the king. So when you have selfishness, when you have emotional negativity and delusion, you will kill and you will harm. That's why all precepts lead to downfall. Only people with the evil root will violate them. So the Buddha's advice is very clear. You have to renew your five precepts. You have to keep your five precepts. That's why before you meditate, you must maintain your precepts. That's why you hear this word, sila, samadhi, panya. You must cultivate sila before you can go into meditation. Then only wisdom can arise. If you don't cultivate sila, you will have a lot of mental hindrance. You know why or not? Those who violate the precept, let's say you kill, you cause harm, you cheat, you deceive, you misappropriate, or you steal, take things that don't belong to you. Then you cheat on your spouse. You commit sexual misconduct. Then you tell lies. You do a lot of those, what they call, wrong speech, violent speech, harsh speech. You go and backbite and cause misunderstanding, quarrel. Then you couldn't care less, you speak frivolously. Then you lie every now and then. Then the last one is, you get yourself entangled with drug and intoxicant that make your consciousness very low. This type of people, what will happen to them, their life? When you do all this funny thing, even one precept you break, you kill somebody or cause serious harm, even accident, because of your negligence and carelessness, you drive too fast or what, then you meet up with an accident, then you cause death. It can be charged under the law for culpable homicide. Sometimes they can charge you for killing. So all this lead to a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then remorse, sorrow and lamentation. That's how your mind becomes restless. That's how this hindrance, the five mental hindrance, restlessness of mind. When you violate your precept, you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of remorse, sorrow and lamentation. Because you're scared people come to know. There is this constant fear. You live a life of constant fear. Then why do you want to do that? Isn't it a lot more peaceful and better if you keep to the precept? And you can develop the ennobler of precept instead of avoiding evil. You try to purify your virtue and conduct and do good. Be virtuous and develop more and more wholesomeness, gentleness, kindness. Have more and more contentment. Be generous. Have gratitude and respect for people. All these are very wholesome, full of virtue. And this is how you cultivate. That's why to avoid all evil, you have to keep the precept, because if you violate the precept, karma-wise, it hit you. Society's law hit you. Your mind becomes restless. You got a lot of problem. When you kill, harm, cheat, and especially you cheat your spouse, that can be a very serious problem. So a lot of all this violation of precept, in real life you can see, they suffer. Those who steal, rob, cheat, misappropriate or rape and other things, how do they end up? Even when they are not caught, they are in constant fear. They live a life of what they call coward. They dare not face society. They live under constant fear. Then they have a lot of suffering because law, karma, the friction of it, of their action, it will hit them very severely. They got a lot of mental stress. The hindrance of mind constantly hit them. The evil roots are very powerful, root of all evil, make them more and more evil. Not until they repent, turn around, and determine to change, they will continue to fall. So the first right view with regards to law of karma can bring about so much understanding, and the teaching become like very clear or related. That's how the Buddha teach. That's how the teaching come about. Then the second advice is, wherever there is condition, wholesomeness, goodness, you must do. And how do you cultivate virtue, goodness, and wholesomeness? Again, noble eightfold path. Understand? From right view, you develop right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's how you develop the cultivation of virtue, wholesomeness, goodness, kindness. And the four right effort is very clear. First right effort is to abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome action and speech that has already arisen. Then the second right effort is, after you have trained your mind, when you have become more mindful and more heedful, you can prevent the arising of wrong action, speech and thought. That's how the four right effort become very potent and very important. So the initial cultivation of precept need the four right effort. Because if you cannot be heedful to see your mental intention, then just like the very, very powerful defilement, asava, they will spring forth from your deluded mind. Then when they spring forth, what happens? They create a lot of karmic negativity. That's why the first right effort is to abandon them when they have already arisen, spring off. Like your anger, your hatred, your fear, your delusion. Whatever that you arise through delusion, you have to be heedful, you have to be mindful. And the moment you are mindful, you will not allow it to proliferate. You will just determine through right effort to abandon them. And there are five ways to abandon them. They are all related in the teaching. First way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought so that this unwholesome thought will cease to be. Then the action and speech also same. Think of the opposite right action, right speech to counter them, to abandon them. If you still cannot develop it, then you have to reflect, contemplate, use the second turning to understand the danger or consequence of allowing this evil root to stay in your mind, in your heart. We are there, the root of all evil. Anger is the root of all evil. Fear is the root of all. They will make you evil. They will make you miserable. And you will continue to fall. So when you know that these are evil roots, that's why you have to root out all your evil roots. Your selfishness, your anger, your hatred, your lust, your craving, your desire, your greed and selfishness, envy and jealousy. So all this they are evil, root of all evil. You cannot have them in your mind state. That's why you have to have the right effort to actually abandon them or prevent them from arising. And the best way is to root them out. To root them out need wisdom. That's why when you think of the consequence, the danger of it, you tell yourself, this is my life. I have the right to choose. I will choose not to become like that. That's why you were determined to abandon them. Otherwise, you will fall. Your life will fall. You will become miserable. The law of karma will take over. And you will become afflicted. That's why the noble truth becomes very real. So after understanding all this, the right effort to abandon will surface. Then the third right effort is to cultivate all the wholesome actions, speech, and thought that are still not in you. That's why you must have more and more right thought. What are right thought? Right thought are all the kind and virtuous thought that leads to harmony, leads to understanding, leads to faith. When you develop right thought, it is very beautiful. Thought of generosity, thought of contentment to help people, to appreciate what people has done for you. Then the right thought of gratitude and respect towards those who are worthy of respect, or people who have taught you well, who have supported you, who have given you some form of help or assistance in one way or another. So all these are very, very wholesome thoughts. Then radiate love and metta, develop compassion, generosity, gentleness, then what they call pleasantness. Be a very, very, you must speak in such a way that your speech is very pleasant, very gentle, and lead to a lot of understanding and harmony, so that people like you, because you got no negativity, you are incapable of hurting people, even using words. Speak kind, gentle, and good speeches. Then act in a very, what they call, amicable way. Act with love. Act with sincerity, act with kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. All these are very wholesome ways. And these are the virtues that you must cultivate with right effort. That's why right effort to cultivate all these that are still not in you. And this is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Initially, you have to write them down. What constitutes right speech, right? If you don't understand them, you cannot put them into practice. Even after you understand, you have to develop the conditioning for it to become a part of your nature, so that you are always this way, so that the Noble Eightfold Path is part of your nature. You will have all the right speech, right action, and right thought. You will not have all those negative speech, action, and thought process. And you must understand what is wrong thought too. Wrong thought are thought that condition all of the evils. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your problem, your suffering, these are all wrong thought. Then why do you want to think that way? That's why live life. Don't go and worry about life. Don't go and think and develop all the fear, worry, anxiety. Don't go and project your thought. Have clarity. Train your mind. Be heedful. Then you will have clarity of mind. Then with the wisdom, you will know how to attend to life. You will know how to cultivate accordingly. When you follow Noble Eightfold Path, you will resolve everything amicably. Then the last right effort is to refine upon all this wholesomeness and virtue that you have already cultivated. So that right effort to refine upon and perfect it is equally important. So, cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path starts with right view. So I only cover law of karma. There is still two more. Four number two, which is the three turning. But you have to expand on it because this three turning related to life, every aspect of life. The first number two, the eight reality, you must go into it. That's why the five daily contemplation is connected to it. And all the teaching, they are related. Then within the four number two, you have the noble eightfold path. Then the third right view is the law of dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca-samuppanna. The Buddha wants you to have this right view because this is the most important. This will explain to you clearly how you function as a human being, how your mind state arises and pass away, how upon contact consciousness arises, feeling arises, the seven universality arises. Then how the conditioned mind input the content of consciousness. You will start to see them all because you have trained your mind. You are heedful. You are mindful. Without mindfulness, without heedfulness, you cannot train. You cannot understand. You cannot cultivate the way of power. That's why first you need to develop phase one of the Dhamma. You have to understand the teaching. Then train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance. Not until you are heedful, you are ever mindful, very stable. Meditate until the silent mind is with you all the time. Then only the real cultivation begins. That's why the Kayamita very wise. He said, how to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path? We are using the silent mind. Means she already trained and have the silent mind. Otherwise you cannot. If you can't be mindful and heedful in the midst of life, you have not really started your real meditation or cultivation. That's why you go to retreat. Then when you are at the retreat, you are very calm, very peaceful, and you can have fantastic meditation experience. But the moment you come out of retreat, maximum within 1-2 weeks, you go back to your normal usual way. You become heedless again. So the heedless are as if dead. The Buddha make it very clear. So that is not meditation at all. The real meditation is daily mindfulness, heedful in the midst of life. That's why the Buddha said before he passed away, apamadena sambadita. The meaning is strive on with heedfulness, ever mindful throughout the day, not only in the meditation, formal meditation, not only when you are in a retreat or in a meditation class. In the midst of life, that is the real one. Oh, another 10 minutes left on here. Oh yeah, he told me to finish at 10:15. I forgot they got to attend something very important tomorrow. Sorry, we have to stop now. Next time remind me. I forgot about it. Suyan told me when I came in. I exceeded 5 minutes. Okay, I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do a quick sharing of merits, transfer merit, then we end. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang me nya tinang ho tu sukita hontu nya tayo. Idang me nya tinang ho tu สุขิตาหอนตุญาตโยอิดังเมญาตินังโหตุสุขิตาหอนตุญาตโย Let this merit accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena.สัสสัมปติเหตุเชพิโตบาวะตุโลโกเชราชาบาวะตุดัมมิโก May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler be righteous. Okay, we will make the aspiration. อิมินาปุญญังคามินามามีบาลาสมากโมสตังสมากโมโหตุยาวะนิวานาปติยะ By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Dhamma, let us express our respect and gratitude to Virtue for sharing the Buddha Dhamma with us tonight by saying Sadhu three times.
Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.
And we would like to say Sadhu three times to Brother Sui An and Sister for allowing us to come to their house to